Welcome back to the Learn English podcast, the podcast teaching English in context so you can learn naturally. On today's episode, I want to talk about books that I have read recently. If you have been a longtime listener of the podcast, you probably have heard me mention the input hypothesis. This is a hypothesis by linguist Stephen Krashen, who has done studies on input, which is the amount of time you spend reading or listening to a language. And he's done studies on reading showing that it greatly improves your language ability if you are able to read and listen to a language as much as possible. For that reason, I always suggest that my students who are learning English try to read as much as they can in English, even if sometimes it might be a little bit difficult or challenging. I think it is important to read in English. And this episode specifically was also inspired by one of my podcast listeners, Tahir Mizrahi. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Had left a comment on YouTube asking if I could do an episode where I talk about books that I have read and give my recommendations. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to talk about these books that I have read and tell you a little bit about them so you can determine if it's something you would be interested in reading. You can get some good input, some good reading time in English to help you improve your English ability. So if you're interested in learning about these books, of course, while also practicing your listening comprehension and building your English vocabulary, then follow along because we're about to begin. Before we get started, I want to remind you to look at the description of this podcast episode. There you will find the vocabulary list of the words and phrases that I used in the episode, so you can take it, study it, and continue to build your English vocabulary. Now let's talk about these books. If you are a listener of the podcast, you probably have heard some episodes I did recently about an injury I had and the spinal surgery I needed to correct that injury. I did two episodes on them, so I will leave links in case you missed those episodes, but that was a period of time that was really difficult for me in terms of my mobility. Mobility means your ability to get up and walk around and be active. I was not very mobile after I had spinal surgery. For the first week, it was extremely difficult for me to get out of bed. So I had a lot of free time. I was just lying in bed, either sleeping or reading. I read more in the few weeks after my spinal surgery than I did in the entire year before my surgery. So I have a lot of books that I read in those few weeks after I had surgery. And those are the books I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to tell you my quick summary of the characters of the plot and give you some idea about the writing style. So hopefully that can help you determine if these are some books you might be interested in reading. I definitely have a mix of books that I read. I have some very old books, some books that are considered classics, and some newer books as well. So hopefully you can find something that you would find interesting. We're going to start with the first book, and that is Washington Square by Henry James. Henry James was an American and British writer, and he wrote this short novella in 1880. A novella is a story that is longer than a short story, but usually not the length of a full novel. It's kind of like a mini novel, and that's what Washington Square is. The story is set in mid-19th century New York City, and the main character is Catherine, and it tells you that she is a little bit plain. That means that she doesn't have a really beautiful face. She's not very attractive to look at, and her personality is also maybe a little bit boring. Now, her father is very rich. He is a doctor who has a lot of money. So, Catherine grows up in a very nice house in a very wealthy part of New York City, and that is what attracts a young man to her. Morris Townsend comes to town and he proposes to Catherine. He says that he is in love with her and he tries to get her to marry him. The main conflict of the plot is her father not wanting her to get married and Morris wanting her to marry him. Since the story is from 1880, it is older, obviously. There might be some phrases in there that are not as common now when we speak in English, but I would say that it is a pretty easy read. In terms of the length, you can see if you're watching on YouTube that the book that I have, the version that I have, is not very long. It is only 162 pages. So if you are looking to read something that is more manageable, if you're someone who doesn't like to read very long novels, then this could be a good option because it is relatively quick to get through. Also, because it is older, it is no longer under copyright, which means that you can usually buy a copy of this for very little money. These are usually pretty cheap when we're talking about books that are this old. And of course, if you get an e-reader version, you can probably find one that's free. There's also a 1997 film adaptation of the story. If you'd rather watch that instead, you can find it on YouTube, and I will leave a link. The next book on my list is another older classic book, and it is The Three Musketeers by Alexandre Dumas. This book was written around the same time. It's a little bit older than Washington Square. It was originally written in 1844, and even though it was written in 1844, it's actually set in 17th century France. So it is a historical fiction, even for the time. I can say that I never read this book when I was younger because I always kind of had this idea that it was a little bit older, that maybe it was a little bit boring. And when I read it, I was actually a little bit surprised. I did not know that it was a comedy. The book, at least to me, feels a little bit campy. If you haven't heard that word before, what campy means is a little bit goofy, a little bit silly, kind of as a joke. And the characters in it are silly. They say kind of funny things. They joke around with each other. I found it a lot more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. The book centers around musketeers. These musketeers are part of the King's Guard. They are supposed to be elite swordsmen. The main character in it is D'Artagnan. D'Artagnan is really young at the beginning of the book. He is just starting out traveling from his home to Paris to become a musketeer. He becomes best friends with Athos, Porthos, and Artemis, and they have this crazy adventure that occurs because they are part of the musketeers. In terms of length, the version that I have is over 500 pages long. Now, the pages are definitely smaller than the Washington Square copy that I have. The pages are much shorter. So, of course, that adds some length to it, but it is a longer book. And this one did take me more time to read because of its length. It was interesting, though. I will say that there were some words that I think maybe were part of historical France that I didn't really know. I just kind of skipped over them when I was reading. I didn't understand the money currency that they were using in it and what that really meant, but I don't think it was really that important to the story. I think you could read through it and be fine with it. Personally, I would recommend it, like I said, because it's an older book, you can find it for free online. And if you are interested in watching the story instead of reading it, there are multiple film adaptations, including a 1993 film and a 2011 film that you can watch. Now we're going to talk about books that are much more modern, books that have been written recently. I don't know about other countries, but I will say here in the United States, it's become very popular for celebrities to have book clubs. Usually these are female celebrities. I'm not really sure why, but I've noticed that in recent years, a number of celebrities have their own book clubs where they promote certain books for their followers to read. The book that I am going to talk about is a book that I saw on a number of book club lists and I heard a lot about in recent years. The book is Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm not sure if you can see it, but the copy that I have actually says it on the book. It says that it is a New York Times bestseller and part of Reese's Book Club. The Reese that it is referring to is Reese Witherspoon. She's an actress. She was in Legally Blonde, Sweet Home Alabama, but she does have these monthly recommendations, and this was one of them. She really loves this book and promoted it a lot, so much so that she actually bought the rights to it and made a movie version of this book. The book was written in 2018, so only a few years ago, but it is set in the 1950s to the 1970s, and it's set in a fictional town called Barkley Cove in North Carolina. The main character of the story is Kaia Clark. Kaia is very young at the beginning of the novel. I believe she's about 6 years old when you are first introduced to her. Throughout the novel, you see how Kaia grows up. She is not part of the society in town. Her family is very poor. They don't have any money, but she grows up in the marsh and she grows up loving the wildlife around her. The novel also has a second plot line, which is a murder. There is someone who is found murdered, and the story really revolves around trying to figure out who did the murder. Eventually, the plot line of the murder and Kaia's story converge, which means that they come together. You see how they're tied together. That's really the big suspenseful part of the novel, trying to figure out who did this murder. In terms of length, this one is a little bit longer. My copy is 368 pages. The writing, though, is a lot more spaced out than the type in the other books that I read. Even though it is a little bit longer, the words have more spacing between them. I think that adds a little bit to the length. However, it is on the longer side. If you're someone who wants to read something that's very short, I would not recommend this. I would also say that it can be difficult to read the dialogue. Kaia is not educated formally. She does not go to school. At the beginning of the novel, when she's very young, the way her dialogue is written as someone who is uneducated. The grammar is a little bit confusing. Her spelling of her words is different from standard spelling, because it's trying to show you the accent that she speaks with. Throughout the course of the novel, you see how her dialogue changes. It becomes more standardized as she grows up, as she learns how to read and write. But I would say that that is a little bit difficult. That's one of the hard parts of the book. Because the book is set in North Carolina, a lot of the characters have a Southern accent. And I will also say that there are a few African American characters in the book, and how their dialogue is written is not great. Even though this is a modern novel, even though it was written only a few years ago, it seems a little bit antiquated in how the African American characters are written. Antiquated means antique, old-fashioned. It was a little bit shocking to me how these characters were written. After I read the book, I actually looked up some reviews because I was a little bit shocked by that. I noticed some other people were saying the same thing online, that the way that the African American characters were written in the book was problematic, was not great. Delia Owens, the author, was someone who at one point in her life was living in Zimbabwe, and she had a wildlife preserve with her husband and her son. And one night there was a murder, and it's not clear who did it, but someone ends up dead. Now, this is an actual real life thing. This is not talking about the book. Her husband and her son ended up flying back to the United States so they could not be questioned. And it's a little bit unclear even today what exactly happened. I did not know that before I read the book. People talked online about it and mentioned how it's a little bit strange that in her own personal life, there is this unresolved mystery around a murder. And then in the book, there is this murder. I did find that a little bit odd. I didn't know that because I had just seen all the promotion and the positivity around the book. I did not know that part. So that was another part I found a little bit odd. What I would say is that if you are interested in the story, if it's something that maybe sparks your interest, I would actually recommend the movie version. I would recommend watching the movie version because, like I said, reading the dialogue and the accent that these characters have can be difficult. It's a little bit hard for me, and I'm a native English speaker. I have a very high reading level. If you are learning English, that might be a little bit challenging. I would say watch the movie version first, see how the characters talk, get a feel for the accent, and then if you are interested in the book, of course, you can read the book afterwards. Our next book is another book that I found from a celebrity book club. And in this case, the celebrity is Dua Lipa. She is a pop singer that's very famous here in the United States, and I'm assuming other places as well. I read an article that mentioned how she has a book club and specifically how she is one of the best interviewers when it comes to interviewing authors. Apparently, she is very well read, loves reading books, and is very intelligent when she interviews the authors and asks really interesting questions. So apparently she's a very talented pop singer who's very beautiful and also incredibly well-read and intelligent. I'm jealous. I will leave a link for her book club if you are interested. You can go to her website. She has a number of books, but one of the ones that was on the list that kind of got my interest was Pachinko by Min Jin Lee. The book was published in 2017. But it is another historical fiction. It is set from 1910 to 1989, and it follows four generations of a Korean family. The main character throughout the book is Sunja. Sunja is relatively young when we first meet her. She lives in a small village with her parents who run a guest house. While she is helping her mother with this boarding house, she meets a very wealthy man, and their interaction affects the next three generations of her family. I really did not know anything about this time period in Korea and in Japan. Both of my grandfathers served in the United States military. One of my grandfathers was in World War II in the South Pacific. Both of my grandfathers served in the Korean War, so I'm a little bit ashamed to say I really did not know anything about the interaction between Korea and Japan, or even between China and Japan. That's another thing that's hinted at a lot in the novel. So it for me, it was interesting to learn about this time period. Because I am in the United States, when we talk about World War II, and especially with discrimination during World War II, we talk a lot about the Japanese internment. There was an order that went out that anyone who was of Japanese ancestry was basically rounded up and sent into concentration camps. There's one a few hours from where I live that we learn about when we are in school, and we learn about how discriminatory that was and how that was a really horrible thing that happened in United States history. Reading this, it was really interesting because this was a completely different perspective. This was a Korean family who was living in Japan, and it was interesting to see the parallels, interesting to see the discrimination, the difficulties that they had because they were considered to be outsiders and foreigners in Japan. And it was just interesting to see how that played out, tying it into what happened here in the United States, seeing how those experiences were similar and how they were different. In terms of length, this one is the biggest book I have, the longest book that I read while I was recovering. My copy is 484 pages. Again, the text is pretty spaced out, so it's not as tight and compacted as some of the other books I read. Just know it is quite a journey if you decide to read it. One thing I will note is that Dua Lipa said on her little write-up about the book that she couldn't put it down. And that's one thing I noticed. I was on a lot of pain medication when I was reading this book. I was extremely tired, so I was sleeping a lot. But when I would wake up, I just wanted to read it. I kept trying to read more. And even though I was sleeping a lot, I was still able to read maybe 75 to 100 pages a day. Again, that's as a native English speaker, someone who reads a lot. So I know that's not maybe feasible for someone who is learning English, who doesn't have such a high reading level. But I will say that it was a lot easier to read than I thought it was going to be. It was long, but it was pretty simply written. A few things I would say is that this is an epic. This is a story that goes over multiple generations, over many decades. You see how the world changes. But one thing is that things do not go very well for the main characters in this novel. Every time you think something good is happening, something really terrible happens. So if you are someone who likes lighthearted things, comedies, things to have a happy ending, probably don't read this book. This is a lot more sad. Because this book was so popular, because it had so much praise, the rights to this book also were purchased. And if you have Apple TV, you would be able to watch the TV show version. And the last book on my list is actually a non-fiction book. So this is a true story. And the book itself was written in the 1970s. It's not as modern as some of the other ones on my list, but I wanted to read it because I hadn't read it in a long time, and I think it's a little bit important considering where we are right now, at least here in the United States. The book I'm referring to is All the President's Men by Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodward. The authors of this book, Bernstein and Woodward, are reporters, they're journalists. And at the time, they were reporters for the Washington Post, which is a newspaper here in the United States. And the story of it has to do with one of the most important political scandals in American history. The book starts in June of 1972 with a break-in at the Watergate Hotel. During this time, the president of the United States was Richard Nixon, and he was running for re-election. The story starts off in June, and the election is actually in November of that year, November of 1972. I say that this is the most, or one of the most important political scandals because Richard Nixon won re-election, but he actually did not finish his second term. He actually had to resign in disgrace because of what happened at Watergate and what was revealed throughout the reporting by journalists like Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodward. Those two reporters worked on many stories together for about 2 years when they were reporting what was occurring, what happened at Watergate, why, and what else was connected to it. They actually started to become called Woodstein because it took both of their last names and kind of combined it together. And they are two of the most important reporters in this scandal. Now, they didn't do everything by themselves. There were other reporters at the Washington Post and, of course, at other newspapers as well. The book mentions the other big stories that came out from other newspapers like the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times, which are two other large newspapers here in the United States. But they were two that really stuck on the story, and they were personally called out by the president and his staff. What they were able to uncover was that the administration and the people around the president were not only involved with the Watergate break-in, but they were also involved in a lot of other illegal things. Just like our other two books, this was another very popular book when it came out. Therefore, there was a movie version that was made. The movie is older. It is also from the 1970s. It stars a very young Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford. And we actually watched the movie version in my high school after we read the book. The movie is a lot shorter than the book is. In the book, it goes for 2 years over this time period where they are doing this reporting. There is the election, then there is a trial with some of the burglars who broke into the Watergate Hotel. And then Senate hearings, and then the president resigns. So there's a lot that happens. In the movie, it really only covers maybe the first 40% of the book. It only focuses on the reporting. You don't hear anything about the trials or the Senate investigation. Honestly, I wish this was something that was made into a TV show because I don't think a movie can actually go over all of what happens in the book. There's just so much. One thing I will say about the book and the movie, there are a lot of names. There is a lot of people who were involved, and it gets a little bit hard to follow along. I was not alive in the 1970s, so I don't know these people. I think if you were someone who was alive then, which is when the book was written, you knew who these people were, so it was a little bit easier to follow. Reading it now is a little bit more difficult because I don't know who a particular aide to the president was or a particular cabinet member. And even when I see their job titles, I don't really know what they did. I don't know who they were, what their role was in the White House. So it was a little bit difficult. Now, my copy of the book does have some pictures of the people who were part of this whole scandal. It's a lot of older men wearing glasses. Even then, it was kind of hard to distinguish who was who. However, I think it is an interesting read. It is this political suspense that's actually true. It has this mysterious element, this thriller part of trying to figure out what is happening and why it's happening. So it is an interesting story to see how everything comes out, how they were able to get this information, and how their journalism really did change the course of American history. I hope you found this episode interesting. I hope maybe there was a book in there that you want to read, or maybe that you have read even. If you found one of these books interesting, please leave a comment. Tell me which one you think you might want to read in the future. Or if you have any recommendations for me, if you have a book that you really love that you think maybe I should read and talk about in future episodes, leave a comment and let me know. Or if you have ideas for the podcast, just let me know. Like I said, this episode was inspired by a listener. So if you have ideas, if you have suggestions, please tell me about it so I can plan to do episodes about things that you are interested in the future. If you're enjoying the podcast, if it's helping you learn English, please consider leaving us a rating on whatever app you are using to listen to this podcast on. You can also tell a friend, tell a family member, tell someone who is learning English so we can continue to grow our audience. You can find us on social media at Learn English Pod. The website is learnenglishpod.com. And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss our next episode when it comes out next week. Until then, keep learning English.